We're turning to the book of Exodus, and our text is going to be in the chapter 19 and the verse 4. Let's bow together just in a short word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Heavenly Father, tonight as we come to Thy precious word, we ask Thee that we would know, Lord, that help that cometh from above. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. In the chapter 19, in the verse 4, we have these words: Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. You know, history is a very interesting subject. Family history is something that is passed on from generation to generation. Many today research their family history, tracing their roots as far back as they can go. Others, of course, have no interest, and they say they have enough trouble with the ones that are alive now without worrying about the ones that have already been in the past. We can all, of course, trace our roots right back to Adam, our first father. The difficulty is getting all the family in between on the way back. Some have a great interest in world history. Others only concentrate on local history. Some are fascinated by the history of the two great wars, their weapons, their battles, and how they coped with the situation during the war years. Others will spend hours researching history of transport or the history of farming or business and so on. Many Christians, of course, have a great interest in the Reformation. And this year, especially 2017, we think especially of Martin Luther. And there are those who delve deeply into the past and into the history of the Reformation. Other Christians concentrate on the history of revivals, and they go back and they trace the revivals and how God moved in tremendous power in days gone past. And when we do that, we long that God would come again and move in revival power. Many lessons can be learned from the past. You know, after the last war, you would think that the lessons learned would have stopped war for good. The tragedy of death and destruction. And yet man is still ready for war today and fighting all over the world. The lessons of the Reformation should have been a lesson to men and women to avoid the Church of Rome. And yet today many are seeking fellowship and seeking unity with the Church of Rome and accept the Church of Rome as a Christian church. Of course, that is not what the Bible teaches. We want now to look at a period in history of the nation of Israel and see a type of the world today that you and I live in. The children of Israel were told to look back and to remember God's power. And first of all, we want to see that they were in bondage in Egypt. And that bondage is a type of man in bondage to sin. In the first chapter of the book of Exodus, in the verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in bricks and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor. This nation of Israel, just a small family when they arrived into Egypt to avoid the famine. Now they had multiplied greatly, And in the verse 7 of chapter 1, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Joseph and all his brethren and all the generation, that generation were dead. A new king had arose who knew not Joseph, a hard king, a fearful king, an evil king. And in verse 11 of the chapter 1, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And you know, this was a tremendous time for those who were out working in the land of Egypt. We were in Egypt 27 years ago, I think it is, if I'm right. And we headed down to Egypt. And one morning, we went out to go to the pyramids. And, of course, the bus was full of people from Ulster. And the guide that was going with us come out, and she had trousers on. She had her umbrella with her, and she had gloves with her. And, of course, the laugh that that caused in the bus was unbelievable, because the sun was shining. And when we got to the pyramids, it was 113 degrees. And of course, then we realized that the laugh was on us, because she had her umbrella and we had to walk in the sun, and it would have destroyed you. But we are used here with putting up umbrellas for the rain. But of course, there was no rain there. And how those people worked in that tremendous heat, I do not know. Read the story of Exodus when you go home and see the bondage that this people were under. They were had to be devastated. Really, they were slaves to the king of Egypt. They could not leave Egypt. They were bound, as it were, in their slavery. And what a picture this gives us of the type of man today. Born a sinner, soon to become a slave to sin, born into bondage, the slave to the devil, controlled by the devil, and how the devil ensnares this sinner, takes him or her on a downward trail on the broad road to a lost sinner's hell. We think of the sin of theft. The young person is tempted to steal something small, and then it becomes a snare to him, and he's in bondage to theft. We think of the sin of adultery. The young man or young wife is tempted, and they commit adultery. They yield to the temptation of the devil. They're snared by the sin of adultery, which wrecks homes and families and children. Drink ensnares a man or a woman and remains a social drinker for some time, and then becomes that the alcohol takes control. And they're snared by drink. Drugs. A lot of young people today, and what do? They experiment with drugs. Never ever intend to be caught up with the drugs. And yet, after a very short time, they are hooked on drugs. You see, the devil is a hard taskmaster. Sin corrupts. It ensnares. And it brings into bondage. And many in this land of ours tonight are in bondage to the devil, ensnared by the devil, and living a life that they perhaps never intended to go out to live, but sin has got a grip on them. It ruins lives. It ruins marriages. It breaks homes. It results in unhappiness, in suicide, in rape, in murder, and has far-reaching consequences, because the end is the lake of fire. But you know, that is sad. that man and woman are going down the broad road to the lake of fire. You say, well, tonight I'm no rapist. I'm no adulterer. I'm no murderer. I'm no thief. I'm no liar. And yet the devil has you bound and fettered in sin. You know, there's the sin of pride. There's the sin of arrogance. There's the sin of hatred. There's the sin of Sabbath breaking. There's the sin of scandal. There's the sin of bad temper. There's the sin of idol worship, when we worship our families, worship our business, worship anything but the true eternal God of heaven. We could go on and on. And yet tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're guilty of the worst crime of all, the rejection of God's Son as your Savior. And you know, that is something that man and woman are doing at this particular moment in time. They are rejecting God's Son. They say, we do not want Christ to rule over us. We want to live life and enjoy life. And yet, the end is unbelievable. I was saying this morning in our own church, you know, it's a tragedy. And it used to be said years ago that it was an awful thing to go to hell from a bar stool. But let me tell you this, it's a far more tragic thing to go to hell from a church pew. And there's more going to hell tonight in Northern Ireland, and Ireland as a whole, from a church pew than there is from a bar stool. Why? Because the majority of people have some connection with a church, baptized in it, take Holy Communion in it, and yet not saved. The bondage that man has held is a type of man and the bondage to sin. But then we have the Lamb without blemish, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And in Exodus 12 and verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or the goats. The lamb was to be without blemish, perfect, male of the first year. And you know, as a type of Christ, this lamb was a male. It was without blemish. It was of the first year. It was at its fittest. And you know, Christ was a man, a God-man. Christ was perfect. He was without blemish. He was born into this world sinless. He lived a sinless life. And he went to the cross of Calvary and bore our sins upon the tree. In Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, the spotless Lamb of God, acceptable to his heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I wonder tonight, is there someone, and the Holy Spirit has opened your heart, and you say, yes, I'm a sinner. The Bible says I'm a sinner, and I believe the Bible. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. I believe he shed his precious blood. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the cross of Calvary for my sin. But my dear friend, have you done anything about it yet? You see, there are many have that head knowledge, but they have not done anything about it. And then we have the basin of blood, a type of the blood of Christ. And the verse 22 of the chapter we read, of chapter 12, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. You see, the lamb had to be killed to provide the blood for the salvation of the firstborn of Israel. And then verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel was to pass through the land. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt were to be killed. The judgment of God was coming upon the Egyptian people. The blood was to be a covering necessary to salvation from death. And that's what saved the people on the night the destroying angel passed through. It was the blood of the lamb that was slain that was to save them. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only covering for our sins to cleanse us from sin and deliver us from eternal death. And 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a tremendous thing it is when the Holy Spirit reveals to us not only our sinnership, not only that Christ was the Lamb of God, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is to cleanse us from all sin. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is. Do you realize it tonight, friend? Maybe you're a Christian tonight and you're saved by God's grace. Do you rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood upon the middle cross so that you tonight are sitting in Enniskillen Free Presbyterian Church, saved by God's grace with the assurance of a home in heaven only because of the sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross? But then there's not only the bondage that was in Egypt and not only the lamb without blemish and the basin of blood, but there was the bunch of hyssop, a type of our faith in the blood of Christ. And verse 22, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood in the basin. The lamb was slain. The blood was shed. And yet, if the blood had remained in the basin, it would have had no effect. And the firstborn in that house would have died. The judgment of God was that the firstborn must die unless the blood had been applied. Yes, the lamb was slain. The blood shed. To be effective, it had to be applied to the lintel and the doorposts. And you know that as a type of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Why? Because God's Word tells us that. It is not enough to know about the blood. We need to have it applied to our heart. And when the Israelites took the hyssop and applied the blood, they exercised faith in the blood to cover their homes from the destroying angels. You see, they believed God, and they believed that they would be safe. And they took the hyssop and applied the blood. Now, do you know, we as sinners need to have the blood applied to our hearts to save us from the lake of fire. The blood applied to our hearts by faith. Romans 10 and 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to our hearts. And Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I want to ask you tonight, have you had the blood applied to your sinful heart? Do you know that Jesus' blood can save you? Maybe you're here tonight and you've been to this church time and time again. Maybe you've listened to other preachers in other places and you know tonight that you are never going to enter into God's heaven until you have the blood applied to your heart and your sins forgiven. You see, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Do you know that Jesus' blood can save you? Yes, you see, I do. I believe that. And you know, I've stood at many, many doors, and people have said, well, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus Christ died for me and shed his precious blood. And I said, there's only one thing that you have to do is to come and ask God to apply that blood to your heart and be born again into God's family. And you know, the next thing they say, well, you know, I'm not too bad. I've never done this and I've never done that and I've never done the other thing. And then you know fine well that they know nothing about conviction of sin. Because it's only when someone is convicted of their sin and the Holy Spirit has brought them to that point where their sin and they realize their sin separates them from God and is going to separate them in life and in death, that they will come and seek the forgiveness of their sins. But thank God when the Holy Spirit takes you and shows you Christ dying for you on the cross of Calvary and calls you unto himself, then you can come to the foot of the old rugged cross and you can cry unto God for mercy and have the blood applied. Will you come now and have the blood applied tonight? If there's one in our service and you're not saved, young or old, and God has been speaking to you in days that are past from Sunday school teacher, maybe in your services here at the church, maybe in home. You know, it's a tremendous privilege for a child to be brought up or someone to be brought up in a Christian home. And you know, you don't think that maybe at the time. But when I look back, I can never, ever remember a time when I didn't know that I was a sinner and was lost and needed a Savior. Why? Because at my mother's knee and my father's knee, we were taught day after day the Word of God that we were sinners, we were lost, and we needed a Savior. But you know, that doesn't save people. It is only when the Holy Spirit grips your heart and brings you to that point where you're willing to say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, cleanse away my sin, make me a child of thine, give to me thy great salvation. And what happens? You're born again into God's family. And your heart is cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I ask you tonight, if you're not saved, will you come tonight? Will you repent of your sin? Will you put your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing? And you will be born again into God's family. And that Chapter 19 and verse 4, and brought you unto myself. The children of Israel were brought to God. Out of Egypt, into the wilderness, and into the promised land, God the Holy Spirit calls men and women, boys and girls today, out of their sin, into Christ, to live a Christian life, to live a life that is different. You know, there are so many today think that you can get saved and live as you like, go where you like, do what you like. It's like a young fellow got saved away back, I was saying somewhere recently. I'm not going to say how many years, because I'll be giving away my age. Not that you all don't know what age, you know what age I am. But way back when I was about 15 or 17 years of age, this young man got saved at a mission in Oma. He had no background at all till salvation. And he said to me, Ronnie, he says, you know, I can go to a dance. And that's what it was in those days. And he says, I can witness to the saving of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And I said, no. That's the world. And we're not to be involved in the world. Not at all, he says. It's great to be able to go and witness. And about a month or 6 weeks or a couple of months later, I met him. He says, Ronnie, you're right. I says, what do you mean? He says, I went to a dance. And I was dancing around the floor with this girl, and I started to witness to her about being saved. And she stopped dead. She says, are you saved? He says, I am. Well, she says, what are you doing here? And she walked away and left him. He says, I walked out, and I've never been back since. You see, when you're saved by God's grace, you're saved from the world. And we're to be in the world. But we're not to be part of the world. And the sad thing today is there are so many of God's children. And they say, but the Lord allows me to go here. But the Lord allows me to do this and to do that. My dear friend, the Lord doesn't allow you to do anything that this book condemns. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And Christians have to be separate. And you know, that's what the Lord calls you to be. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought them into the promised land. And every time, whenever they sinned and got away from following him, the judgment of God fell upon them. And God judged them until they repented. And then he restored them again. But you know, the Holy Spirit calls us tonight to Christ for salvation. Out of my sorrow, bondage, and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Brought into new life in Christ, new joy to experience, a new peace with God, and a new life to live. Have you got it tonight? Have you had the blood applied? Then rejoice. You know, today we have so many miserable Christians. And they go about as if the whole world carried on their shoulders. You know, my dear friend, you and I should be rejoicing that our sins are forgiven. Every morning when you get up, and I have to watch what I said here, because before you get your breakfast, before you get your toast and your bacon and your eggs, you should be saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I said that in a church recently, and a woman said, going out, what time's your breakfast at in the morning? I'm coming for my toast and my eggs and my bacon. But you know, before we meet the world, we should be rejoicing and saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. And we should be rejoicing that we have not only the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd and as our king, and we're in the family of God, but we have a home being prepared for us in heaven that when we leave this scene of time and go out into God's eternity, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If you're not saved tonight, don't go home till you get right with God. We can't save you, but thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is here and he's willing to save you tonight. Come. If you're a backslider and have lost the joy of your salvation, take and come back and cry unto God to restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. And if you're a child of God and you're feeling down and you're in the dumps, then rejoice and look to the Lord, and he'll help you in the days that lie ahead. Let's bow together in prayer, please.